This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome along. It's Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. It's the number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show with myself, Nigel Seeley, and Sean Calvert. And we're looking ahead to what is another massive week. It's the second leg of the Sunshine Double with the Miami Open over in Florida. A big, big tournament. And looking ahead to it with me, breaking it down the draw, looking at the best bets. Finding the best bets in the outright market and on the first round matches is our senior ATP handicapper, Sean Calvert. Good afternoon to you, Sean. Good evening, Sean. How are you, mate?
Good evening. I'm all right. Got a bit of a bad back, but you know, people don't want to hear about my minor ailments. I managed to injure myself picking a couple of bikes up out of the shed on the weekend. You know, you're just kind of reaching for something in the shed and it's kind of snagged on something. You kind of yank it and, you know, yeah, my back's gone a bit dodgy. Not as bad as it was in Paris, by the way.
Yep. I remember that.
I couldn't sit down. I could walk. I just couldn't sit down, could I?
No.
So that's not the best. But so, although, you know, I'm not one to complain. So, you know.
What? You're not one to complain. That's the quote of the year. You're not
one to
Sean
complain.
Calvary, that's a new T-shirt. Sean Calvary.
I haven't got the old one yet.
Well, that's a new variety. Sean Calvary, I'm not one to complain. I love that. That's the best line of the season so far. We're moving on to the Sunshine Double, Sean. Obviously, last week, Indian Wells won by Alcaraz. And anybody who followed us at the end of last week, we said to Alcaraz at a semi-final stage, he pointed out the value at +225. I think it was around about that price, +$2. He beat Jannik Sinner. There's no Novak Djokovic this week. We'll come on to the outright in a minute. But a nice win to end the week last week.
Yeah, as we said, it was all about that Sinner match, wasn't it? And it just looked like there was slight value on Alcaraz based on the factors that I mentioned. And I was always confident that he would beat Medvedev in the final in those Indian Wells conditions that are so favourable to Alcaraz. And that's the way it turned out. So, yeah, nice to end what's always a tricky tournament with a decent winner, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very hard to do the Sunshine Double, isn't it? I mean, I think Djokovic has done it a few times. I think it's 4. Federer's done it 3.
And I think the man to do it was Federer 2017. So yeah. No one's done it in the last 6 years.
Yeah, I think they're the only two people who've actually done it. I think it was Federer and Djokovic. So, you know, you're talking Alcaraz has got to really go out and he's, you know, playing some fantastic tennis to do so. Obviously, he's been handed a big boost because there's no Novak Djokovic this week. We spoke many times in the show about sort of futures and looking at the head to the market. You know, Alcaraz, we questioned him really, didn't we? Last week we said, was he playing the best that he did at Wimbledon? You know, he certainly was. He was brilliant in the final. He played really well against Sinner after losing that first set. Mm-hmm. Do you think now it's pointers towards the French and pointers towards that? I mean, you know, we spoke about Djokovic being the favourite for these tournaments, but, you know...
Well, Alcaraz's favourite now, isn't he, for the French?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I mean, Alcaraz has now gone favourite, and, you know, that's a big, big sort of win for him last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did look at the odds, actually, once he'd got through that Indian Wells match, and I was open, well, I was interested certainly in seeing what his price was for the French. And yeah, I think he was about 2.8, wasn't he? +180, something like that. I think it's about the best price for Alcaraz to win the French. But he's looking a pretty strong favourite at the moment. Even, you know, disregarding the sort of actual here and now of Djokovic not playing well. And if we can forget about all that for a minute and just sort of fast forward to the French, it's I can't see Djokovic being able to win. I mean, the French is so tough to win, isn't it? You know, if you've got to have it, he's only won it, what, twice, Djokovic, in his mm-hmm. career? I know he's had Nadal and stuff, but it's such a physically demanding test, which kind of moves me away from Sinner, really, who's looked a bit questionable on fitness again last week. Medvedev, with all due respect, I can't see him winning the French Open. And, you know, Djokovic, I'm not sure he can do it at his age. So, I can understand why everyone's come for Alcaraz. He's a pretty decent favourite. I mean, I noticed Nadal was about 6-1, by the way.
I'm just about to say, I'm looking at the odds here at BetRivers. It's +180 Alcaraz. Novak Djokovic is +220.
Yannick Sinner is 350 and Rafa Nadal is plus 550. Now, there is a lot of prices around in the marketplace at the moment, but that already has to be down as one of the worst value bets. I mean, he could win it, and obviously I can understand why they want to be quite cautious of him, but at plus 550...
It's very cautious, that is, isn't it?
Would he play? I mean, it could be his farewell tournament. I mean, it's just... amazing that he's plus 550 to win the tournament for me.
If you remember the last time that he played, or the last time that he won it, which is probably one of the same thing, he had to have all those injections, didn't he? And it was his foot, I think it was that time. Didn't he have some serious problem with his foot? And he had to go through the whole tournament injecting his foot with painkillers and stuff. And that was, you know, a couple of years ago. You know, his body's really kind of let him down since then, hasn't it? It's if you're betting Nadal at, what, plus 550, I think you're a bit brave. You're certainly braver than I would. Yeah. I'd want probably about
20 to 1.
Yeah, I was going to say about 33 to 1. Yeah, I want a decent price for sure.
Well, that is a few months away now. The countdown, the next week, or the week after next, sorry, the European clay court season starts. So it's the countdown is coming for the French Open in Paris. We're going to have you all covered throughout the next few weeks and the next few months, building up to Wimbledon and then obviously the US Open. But everything on the tennis content is going to be covered here on Game Bet Match. It's all about the here and now. It's all about Miami. It's all about the conditions for me. I mean, last year we sort of got a little bit lucky. We had a sort of an inside sort of we got the wink, didn't we? That the tournament
got the inside track.
Yeah, the tournament was going to be played on fast conditions. We went going into a little bit of an unknown this time around. But what do you think? There's been a few qualifying matches come through. Have you looked at your data and thought about the conditions here?
I can't imagine James Blake would change it. He wouldn't. I mean, that's quite a change to go from previous Miami conditions to what they are now. I can't imagine after 1 year he would decide that's not a good idea. I mean, he might have tweaked it a little bit. It's very difficult to tell, is it, from the sort of early skirmishes. It's you're always looking at the naked eye. It looks, I mean, I've got it on now, that it's WTA match on at the minute. It looks pretty similar to me. Let's just assume that it is going to be the same. I can't imagine he would have changed it that much. Much quicker than in previous years in Miami. It's a lake hold outdoor hard court. Last year, there were 82% holds of serve and 73.2% first serve points won. Now, if we compare that to a sort of average Indian Wells, Indian Wells is 78% and 71%. So some way quicker than Indian Wells and some way quicker than Miami always used to be. Obviously, it's moved from where it was in Crandon Park, Key Biscayne, and then it moved to where it is now, the Hard Rock. And it was only last year, wasn't it, that they James Blake substantially changed his speed. So it's only really last year's stats that are relevant, I think. If you're going further back, you're looking at basically a different tournament. So last year, 40% of the matches featured a tie break. Over 22.5, kind of negligible, really. 48% went over 22.5 games. Underdog winners, it's always the best round, as it often is in these Masters 1000. The best round is normally the first round. 38% of them winning round one, against an average of just 31% for the tournament as a whole. So round one is always the place to be if you want to try and find some underdog winners. There wasn't that many in Indian Wells, was there? So I'm hoping there's going to be more here.
Yeah, I mean, I was there last year and I'll be heading out on Friday morning here to Miami. And the two things to take from note, I said it yesterday on the WTA show, the outside courts are much quicker.
They get the sun, yeah.
There is no shade.
There's nothing, is there? It's just a, there's no top to it, is there? It's just basically a bunch of seats and a court.
It is roasting. And we saw yesterday, Kazu obviously fainted, didn't he? He was in a bit of a bad way. And then
whether that was heat related. I presume it was heat related, but I'm not sure about his medical sort of history or whatever. I've never seen him do that before. But I've seen some players do it before. Yu Bing Wu did it, didn't he, in Washington last year. So it's a scary time for him. But yeah, tough conditions, as you say. It's the humidity as well. You've been there. I haven't really. Well, I have, but not for the tennis. And it is very humid.
And obviously in the evening, it's a lot cooler. I mean, so the timing of the scheduling is crucial. Again, pretty much to Indian Wells, really, last week. Yeah. The crucialing was very easy. So when you have a look at the match bets, bear that in mind on the timing of the schedules. The other thing you've got to notice, there's a bit of rain around for the next few days. Friday.
Not until you get there.
Well, I looked at the weather forecast last week and it was horrendous. I thought Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it was horrendous. Now I've got a bit of a glimmer of hope. Friday
doesn't look too bad, does it?
It's Friday, it's Friday and Saturday, really.
Friday and Saturday look awful, but the rest of it looks absolutely fine. Bit windy. Well, it's always a bit windy.
We're not going to the tennis on Friday, Saturday. We land on Friday afternoon. Me and my son. My son is 19 tomorrow. I'm taking my son with me. So we're going to have to...
birthday Harry for tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sean. We are on the Saturday. It's England v Brazil in the soccer, which we have you covered on Betting Weekly Extra Time. There's a little preview on that with the guys there. So we'll be finding a bar where under 21s are allowed to watch the England game.
Are there any such things?
Apparently, I asked Terry, our head honcho at Rivers, he told me as long as we can get food, we should be okay in the bar. So we can watch a bar, have some food, and watch the football at the same time.
Is that the rule?
Apparently so.
You can order like a soup and about 9 pints.
Yeah, but he can't have anything. But I can take him into the bar if they serve food.
Right. Okay.
So that's how they get well reminders. Obviously, if you're American watching this in the UK and Europe, you've got to be 18 to have an alcoholic beverage. And in America, it's different. So we'll see.
He definitely needs his ID, won't he? That's for sure.
Well, I need my ID. It's quite funny. We're staying in a hotel, Sean. Before we go on to the matches, we're staying in the hotel, and there is like two swimming pools. One swimming pool is for like the kids and that. And then there's another one. It's an adult swimming pool with like a DJ and like, you know, sort of pool parties in the afternoon because it's spring break. So you got to be over 21 to get in there. So I've just said to him, listen, I'll just come back and let you know what it's like. So he's going to be sitting right.
He'll be in the kid pool with a bunch of seven-year-olds.
Exactly. Okay, let's move on. You'll be able to follow all my adventures over in Miami over the next week or so on our Instagram account, @BecauseWeWin, and also on Twitter, @BecauseWeWin as well. I'll be posting all the stuff over from there. Let's look at this tournament here. I mean, look at the previous winners. As you said, it's, you know, you don't really want too much further back than last year, but Medvedev won it last year in 2023. Obviously, Sinner was our pick. He got beaten in the final. We played Alcaraz in that epic semi-final. He was exhausted. Hercash won it in 2020. Alcaraz won it in 2022. And then you got Federer, you got Djokovic. You know, the where we are now, it's the last 3 years has been won by Medvedev, Alcaraz, and Hercash. I mean, that's probably important. But let's look at the draw. Let's look at the draw here. And I'm just going to give you the seed. So you know the seed players. Obviously, you know the draw by now in these 1,000 events. The top 32 seeds are already through to round number two. And then the unseeded players have played for the right to play the seed. So if this goes to seedings in the first last 16, we'll see Alcaraz against Ben Shelton. We'll see Dimitrov playing Hercash, but you've got Korda in that section as well. Zverev will say Kachanov. Dimitrov will play Rune, and then that's in the top half of the draw. The bottom half of the draw is Casper Ruud against Taylor Fritz. Ugo Humbert will play Medvedev. Rublev will play Tsitsipas. Tommy Paul will play Jannik Sinner. But obviously, these are the best players in the world. There's no Novak Djokovic in it, as we said at the top of the show. But surprises happen, and we hope they happen along the way. So this isn't going to go to schedule. Looking at the draw, Sean, I looked at it last night, and the one thing that sort of jumped off the page in me is the second quarter is weak.
It is. It certainly is weak. Just very quickly on the trends, just before we go into this, Djokovic is the only number one seed to have won Miami since 2006 when Federer won it. So not particularly great omens there for Alcaraz. Neither is the fact that the back-to-back Sunshine Double is incredibly difficult to do. There have been some decent big price winners in the finals. As you said, Hercash was 100-1. When he won here in 2021.
Did you bet him that year? Did you bet him that year?
No, I didn't. I did bet the next guy. Sinner, by the way, was 33-1, the runner-up that year. Those days have got long gone, haven't they? Mm-hmm. I did have John Isner when he won 100-1, 2018. And he was also 50-1 Isner when he was runner-up a year later. So there have been some big-priced winners and finalists here, probably because it's very difficult to do the back-to-back. And, you know, the top guys sometimes might fade a little bit physically when it comes to the latter stages of Miami. But yeah, as far as the outrights are concerned, the Q1 and Q2, the top half, I must admit, I've gone in the bottom half for my bets. But the first half, Q1, obviously Alcaraz is in there, but that's a tough section. You've got Shelton in there who could do some damage on these quick courts. Dimitrov, he hasn't got a great record here, Dimitrov, by the way. Perhaps that's because over the years, it has been a lot slower. Now that it's quicker, you would perhaps expect him to do a bit better. Seb Korda, you know, on his best form, certainly capable of reaching the latter stages. But Hercash, I think, is the one. If you want to have a bet in Q1, I think Hercash is the guy potentially to be on around about the 33-1 mark. He's got an 81% win rate here, has Hercash. And obviously he won it in 2021. Plays an awful lot of tiebreak. I think the last five or six sets he's played here have all gone to tiebreaks, which is his eternal problem, really. He doesn't break serve enough, but a proven performer in these sort of Miami conditions. I know it was different sort of surface when he won it, but he obviously enjoys it here. I think I said last week I prefer Hercash in Miami to Indian Wells just because of the court conditions. Yeah, Q2, as you say, completely wide open. Zverev, Kashanov, who I think made the semis here last year, didn't he? Just lost in the final set to Medvedev in the semifinals. Demirnor, Lehecka could be a dark horse here, around about 100-1. I would suspect that he would prefer conditions here to Indian Wells. He played great in Indian Wells up until he ran into Jannik Sinner. I think if you're looking for a dark horse in Q2, I would potentially look for Lehecka and a big price for Hercash in Q1. But I'm interested in the bottom half of the draw.
Lehecka is 100-1 currently with Bet Rivers. And Hercash,
I've seen worse bets at 100-1, that's for sure.
30-1. You get half the odds 1-2. As we said, it's so hard to win the Sunshine Double. All the big players, Alcaraz, Sinner and Medvedev has gone deep the week before in a very sort of intense tournament as well. So there are question marks about the top seeds in this tournament. And if you are going to get someone big at a big price, this could be it on the back of the second leg of the Sunshine Double. The other one, before we go on to your picks, Sean, the other one I looked at, I thought was a big price, was Serendula at 250-1. Does well here. Usually does well here. I know he's not probably in the greatest of form, but 250, it seems a big price to me.
On his best form, yeah. And, you know, just because he's not playing particularly well right now, he had a nightmare start to the year. You know, he's not going to carry on like that. He showed a few signs last week. Pretty close to beating Ben Shelton, wasn't he, in Indian Wells last week, Serendolo. He obviously isn't afraid of playing in these sort of hot, humid conditions. That's not a problem for him. Yeah, if he finds his best form, just looking at the draw here, Kashanov got beat by Saboth Wild last week. So, you know, that could be a possible option. I think this Q2 is wide open. We haven't even mentioned Holger Rune, who is the obvious one in this particular section. His price is generally always too short for me when you consider the statistics, the data that he has got. For me, his prices are generally too short, but he's not without a chance. So, yeah, I think you're right in your assessment that Q2 is wide open. I think one of about five or six I could potentially bet if I was having a bet there. So, yeah, very open section.
25-1, Holger Rune with Bet Rivers, 251, Serendulu, 10 times the price. I know which one I'll be having a little bit of pizza money on.
I wouldn't be on Rune at 25s, that's for sure.
Exactly. You said in the bottom half of the draw is where you want to go. Take it away, Sean, because we have Jannik Sinner there. Obviously, you know, lost his unbeaten run against Alcaraz quite convincingly in the end. Medvedev, who's been the king of hard courts, defending champion here. What do you like here?
I feel like there's two players that stand out in Q3 and Q4. Medvedev is the obvious choice, but the stats aren't there for Medvedev in 2024. And if you look at what he's actually done this season so far, a 107... that's the wrong one. Sorry, Medvedev's not even that good. Medvedev's 104 in his service points won and return points won, and 109 in his hold and break total. You know, decent numbers, but not befitting of a sort of world number three, world number four. The guy I like is Hugo Humbert here. Now, he's got a 3-1 head-to-head career series lead over Medvedev, including recently when he beat him in Dubai on an equally slick surface. So the court speed here, I feel, will suit Humbert. Not as high bouncing as Indian Wells, kind of zips through a little bit. And his 2024 stats are better than Medvedev's. I was reading Humbert's, actually. He's 107. Service points won and return points won. And his hold and break total is 111. So he's 3 points and 2 points respectively better off than Medvedev. Looking slightly further into that, he's winning 60% of his second serve points. These are all 2024 stats. 60% of his second serve points this season, Humbert is winning. Medvedev, only 50%. He isn't making as many mistakes as he did before, Humbert. He's a confidence player. You know, his confidence is high. He's won a couple of 500s now. Dubai, he won Haller as well, didn't he, a few years ago. So the next logical step for him is contending at a Masters 1000 for me. And if you're just going on the pure stats, you've got one guy who's got Humbert's stats and he's 50-1. And you've got another guy who's got Medvedev stats and he's about 5-1. It's a no-brainer for me to and he's got that head-to-head lead as well, 3-1. He's not just beating once. You know, he's beating three times out of four. And he was pretty convincing as well in Dubai. Humbert over Medvedev. So that's the one for me, 50-1.
I think that's decent. If you look at Humbert's draw, I mean, you can't see him not getting to the last 16 where he runs into Medvedev. I mean, he's got a very nice run. You can forgive him last week in Indian Wells.
Not his conditions, as I said.
And he came there on the back of winning Dubai, where, you know, it's a lot of travelling and he had to come back from Dubai, where he's obviously on a high. These conditions will suit him if it's quick. Left-handed serve,
yep.
One of the biggest servers in the game. He was actually on my shortlist as well, we were going there. I thought he would be the value. And in the... You've got someone in the bottom half of the draw, obviously, to take us on. And I wonder if it's the same guy that I like here as well.
Possibly. I'm not sure. We'll see in a minute. I'm just not sure that Sinner's fully fit. I mean, I'm still not convinced by him physically. Yeah, I'm convinced by him in terms of his game. You know, I've always, you know, said that in the last year or two. But is he fit? I mean, he was holding his calf. I can't remember whether it was the left or the right in that match against Alcaraz. And he never convinces me. Back-to-back, I mean, obviously, last year he got to the final here, didn't he? But he was in absolutely no fit state to play that final against Medvedev. A similar sort of thing could happen here. If he has got an injured calf, then I think the guy to take him on with in this section is Tommy Paul. I don't know whether he's on your shortlist, but
yep.
For me, I was impressed with Paul in Indian Wells, just because he's changed his style a little bit, more aggressive now. I do like it when players add that layer. He's added that serve and volley into his game now. And that, while that isn't ideal for Indian Wells, it could serve him very well here. If you pardon the pun, serve him here well in Miami, where it's quicker, where serve and volley for me would be more effective in these slicker conditions. You know, he was unlucky against Medvedev in Indian Wells. He was a setup, 6-1, a dominant first set. And again, he played that serve volley tactic against Medvedev perfectly. Got to a second set tiebreak and rolled his ankle, didn't he? Wasn't really competitive after that. So you could count that as unlucky. Again, if you look at his stats for this season, they're better than Medvedev's. He's got a service points won and return points won total of 106 and a service hold and break total of 110. They're better than Medvedev's numbers. We know he goes well in the USA. He's made no secret of the fact that he enjoys playing in the States more than anywhere else. He's beaten Jannik Sinner on grass. Admittedly, it was a year or so, 18 months ago, whatever. Also pushed him pretty close on clay in Madrid. So he's not going to fear Jannik Sinner. I feel like if someone's going to take advantage of a potentially unfit Sinner, then I think Tommy Paul's the man to do it, 40-1.
And also in that section, you've got a lot of players who've already this season have played a lot of tennis. Bublik seems to be playing every week, going deep. Griekspoor playing a lot of tennis.
Bublik could do something here, yeah, in these conditions.
Yeah, you've got a lot of players playing a lot of tennis there. I mean, they're going deep in tournaments. They must be pretty exhausted. Tommy Paul, obviously, coming here on the back of a good run as well. So, Tommy Paul and Hugo Humbert are our picks, and both in the bottom half of the draw. If you're looking for some leans in the top half of the draw, Hercash at 30-1. And I like Cerundolo at a massive 250. It might give you a little bit of run for your money. But I do think that the three favourites here are worth fading. There's something about this tournament, I think, you know, on the back of what happened last week, all going quite deep, the Alcaraz Sinner match, and then obviously Medvedev getting to the final as well. We thought Alcaraz and Medvedev were carrying injury going into Indian Wells, and I've just got a feeling that we might get a shock couple of finalists here.
Quite possibly. I mean, Alcaraz said himself he wasn't sure how fit he was going to be in Indian Wells after that ankle injury that he had in Rio. As it turned out, he was fine. I just think from a Medvedev point of view, These stats for this season, and he's had some success this season. You know, he's Australia Open finalist. He's not had a poor season, but his numbers just, they're not there, particularly just winning 50% on second serve. He's been a bit fortunate in several matches this season, and I just think the numbers aren't there for him, and they are there for some of the other guys. But you're right, I think this could be open. If Sinner's not fit, this could be pretty open.
If you look at the betting, and we spoke about it yesterday on the women's show as well, the top three in the betting is an 87% chance that they will win the tournament, according to Bet Rivers. So you were looking at 13%, so plus 650, everyone else in the field, or minus 650 if you're looking at the odds combined on one of those three winning it. And if it's any tournament you want to fade them at minus 650, this looks the one for me. Okay, we've got some matches. First round, and it has to be said, these aren't the best of first round matches for a 1,000 event. I know you struggled
to do this.
I show you struggled to find a few of these today, didn't you?
I did. It's taken me all day to do this. I had to do one of them again because there was a withdrawal. Borna Coric withdrew, didn't he? And that meant people moved in the draw. And the match, one of the matches I was going to do, I couldn't do because it no longer exists. So it's hard anyway. I've got a couple of bets here, but this is tough. This.
Well, we're going to start off with one which looks very, very tough. I'm surprised you actually chose this one because I wouldn't even know where to start here. The action starts at 12 o'clock Eastern time. We do not know the order of play, so check the BetRivers website for the order of play tomorrow. So we don't know which the night games. And as I said, the conditions change very much between the day and the night here in Miami. We've got Luka Van Ash up against Pavel Kotov, who's been in terrible form. Van Ash is a heavy favourite, minus 130. Kotov is plus 105. The spread is 1.5, plus 130 for Kotov, giving up the 1.5, minus 175 for Van Ash, plus 1.5. The total here is 22.5. These two have never played before in the head-to-head, and Kotov has lost his last three matches in very poor fashion. Van Ash comes here in quite good form, got to the semi-finals, and the Phoenix Challenger, he got beaten by the eventual champion, Borges. I know, when I saw this match, I thought to myself, well, Sean's got to be going for the underdog. He likes the underdogs. But I thought to myself, how on earth can he make a case for Kotov? But we'll see.
I can make a case for all sorts of things. I think, what's the current price? The other problem I've had is that the prices keep changing.
It's minus 130 and plus 105 for Kotov.
Yeah, I've been writing stuff and then the price has moved and I've had to go, well, that's not value anymore. So I've had to delete stuff. I've been a slave to this desk all day today. That's what I do for this show. I feel like there's a hint of value on Kotov here in quick conditions against an opponent that plays well but doesn't often win against the better players in Van Asher. If you look at his win rate, Van Asher, he's got a 36% win rate in completed matches versus the top 100, versus top 100 players at the time of the match, that is to say, in the last 12 months. 36%. Kotov's is 50%. And if you're going slightly further, he's got a 17% win rate, Van Asher, against opponents ranked in the top 67, specific, I know, such as Kotov. Kotov's in the top 67. Kotov's got a 43% win rate against top 67 opponents, including 8 of the last 12 he's won. I feel like the quick conditions will suit the aggressive game of Kotov. I watched all of his match last week in Indian Wells against Tableau. We were on Tableau, weren't we? I was a little bit worried for some sections of that match because Kotov, he did play pretty well, to be fair, in conditions that don't really suit him, or certainly don't suit him as well as they do Tableau. And Van Ash is going to have to adapt because he's coming from that slow, high-bouncing, hard court in Phoenix to these slick conditions in Miami that I don't think he's ever played before. Last 12 months at main level on hard courts, Kotov, again, with a much better win rate, 50% compared to Van Asch's 38%. Tiny advantage in the service hold and break totals and service points won and return points won totals, 98 and 99 Kotov, 98 and 97 Van Asch. So a slight advantage to Kotov on the stats. He has a far better win rate in all main level matches against the better opponents. I'm just not sure Van Asher should be this short. This is at worst a pick'em. And if Van Asher is coming here about 1.73 or something like that, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's no good. So anything, any plus money here on Kotov for me is a reasonable option.
Currently plus 105. And as we speak, you know, the money is still coming for Van Asher. So that plus 105 might actually get a little bit bigger by the time the tournament starts. So
statistically, you can't back Van Asher at odds on here. It's, well, you can, but it's not value as far as I'm concerned.
The next match, is that an official pick, or have we got, is that a
league? That is an official pick. Yeah.
So how many official picks have we got today?
Two today. If the one that I'm talking about, the odds haven't changed, which they have on several other ones.
Okay, so two official picks, and the first one is Kotov to beat Van Ash at plus 105. But I would say, no, it's very unusual. Sean's bets usually get very heavily supported, but on the looking at the market, looking where the money's trending, you might get a little bit bigger juice for your price if you hold on to your ticket.
I don't mind the prices going out. It's when they come in that worries me. I actually prefer it when they go out.
Now, the next match sees Botic van der Sandschup, who's not in the best of form this year. He's only won 3 of his 9 hardcourt matches. He's up against Rinki Hichigata. Van der Sandschup is a heavy favourite, minus 152 against Hichigata, plus 1203. The spread here is 2.5, plus 2.5 Star feature cards is plus 102. Van der Sandtrip is minus 132. And the total again is 22.5, minus 105 for over, minus 122 for under. These two have never met each other before, but I watched Botic Van der Sandtrip play in the heat in Miami last year against Ruzovori. And he, sure. I think he was a set and a break up, and then his body completely folded. He just, the heat got to him. He couldn't run, and Ruzovori just steamrolled him. I think it was quite a tight third set, but he could see physically he was in the heat. He'd gone. So I don't
know. Ruzovori's not normally great in the heat either. So he's done well to out.
Well, I would be the physical presence of Van der Sandtrip doesn't look like someone who could go deep in sort of hot conditions or humid conditions like you have here. So he's heavy favorite, minus 152, but Hitchikata is plus 123. Both of them aren't the best of form. Hitchikata has lost his last three matches, didn't come through qualifying in Acapulco or Indian Wells, lost in the first round in Phoenix. And Van der Sandtrip has lost four of his last five matches. The only win was in the first round against Manarino in Dubai. Hitchikata, plus 123. What do you think?
Yeah, the fact that I'm picking these matches, and these are the ones that I like. Imagine the ones that I don't like. It's difficult, Lee. It's purely on the last 12 months stats at main level, there's value on Hitchikata here, a little bit, I think. I'm not keen on getting involved in Van der Sandtrip matches generally, and not after that debacle that he did against Seb Korda the other week. I think that was the last straw for me with him. Last 12 months at main level, Hitchikata, 52% win rate. Van der Sandtrip, 39%. And the service points won and return points won totals 99, Hitchikata, 98, Van der Sandtrip. Service hold and break totals 100, Hitchikata, 94, Van der Sandtrip. So, on the pure stats of the last year at main level, difficult to justify the odds that Van der Sandtrip is currently at. I keep talking about it, but since that meltdown he had in Munich, the Munich final, which is getting on for a year ago now, he's only won back-to-back matches at a main-level tournament once. And I think that was Paris at the back end of last year when he played a physically depleted Tommy Paul. Other than that, he hasn't won any back-to-back matches since that massive choke that he did in the Munich final. You know, his form has tailed off a bit lately, as you just said, but he's made two quarterfinals already this season, one in Brisbane, one in Delray Beach. For me, if you're betting in this match, I think you have to go with Hitchikata. Plus 125, is he roughly 120?
Plus 123. I like Hitchikata here. I think Van der Sandtrip in these conditions, unless it's put on the night, I don't think it's going to suit him, these hot conditions. There's a bit of wind around as well, which we're not going to suit him either. So I like that Hitchikata. Remember, if you want to keep across all these matches, remember, if you bet live, you can watch live with Bet Rivers. So if you place a bet on one of these matches, you can live stream any of the matches in Miami that you're watching. Live from the comfort of your own home on your tablet, on your mobile device, or on your laptop. So, yeah, watch live and bet live with Bet Rivers. Next match, Artur Fis up against Almaldi. Now, this is an interesting one to talk because these are two really, really up and coming. This is probably one of the best matches of the day tomorrow. Artur Fis is obviously a young Frenchman going places, and Almaldi's obviously just broken in. Everyone's talking about him now because obviously beating what's his name? He beat hang on, I got this wrong. Didn't he beat Djokovic?
Arnaldi?
Yeah.
Not that I recall, no.
What have I got wrong? He got beat by Alcaraz. I was thinking it was the guy who beat Djokovic, but he got beaten by Alcaraz. There's nothing much between the two of them on the world ranking. If you look at the world ranking, it's 37 for Arfis. Naldi is plus 38. It was Naldi, wasn't it? I got the name.
Luca Nardi that beat Djokovic.
Luca Nardi had a bit of a brain freeze. Fis trails 2-0. Naldi leads 2-0 in the head-to-head. Both long matches, one in the US Open in 2023 and one in Madrid on a clay court. Look at the betting. Fis is minus 127. Naldi plus 104 despite leading 2-0 in the head-to-head. The spread is plus 1.5. Fis is minus 1.5 at evens. Arnaldi minus 129. And the total is 22.5. Both of the previous matches cashed very easy. Two players with a big future looking playing well. And Artur Fis is a favourite here at minus 127. We've spoken about him before, the Frenchman. Great sometimes, but then he has off days as well.
You kind of expect that as at the age that he is. You know, you do get some up and down performances at that age. People expect the best level that they see from these young players to be their level. And, you know, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, you know, that age. It's unless you're a phenom like a Nadal or an Alcaraz or whatever, you know, your level is going to go up and down at that age. For me, this should be just a 50-50 pick'em. So I feel like there's a sliver of value on Arnold. He was about plus 110, something like
plus
that.
Plus 104.
Not so. Even that big, yeah. So it is a very small sliver then of value. If you look at the head-to-head, it has favoured Arnaldi. Service points won and return points won totals across the two matches, 102-98 in favour of the Italian. But what's perhaps more interesting is that he wins 55% of his second serve points in this matchup against Fiss, who only wins 43%. So he has been comfortably the better player over the course of the two matches from the baseline. So Fiss is going to have to use his big serve if he intends on winning this match, which obviously he does. Last 12 months at main level, you can't really split them. Both of them exactly the same win rate, 55%. Both got exactly the same service points, one and return points, one total, 99. Fiss, a 1-point advantage in the service hold and break totals, negligible. So given that Arnaldi has been some way better in this particular matchup from the back of the court, 12% better. And there's nothing between them on the general stats over the last 12 months at main level. I would suggest that Arnaldi is a hint of value in this one.
Yeah, plus 104. Arnaldi, apologies for getting the wrong player. I've done all the notes. I've done all my notes on the fact that it was Naldi and he beat Djokovic. I didn't read my writing.
It's close. Naldi.
I know. Terrible. I threw myself there. I thought, hang on a minute. This is not right. Anyway, apologies for my mistake there. Move on. So just remember as well, there's Bet Rivers that have got an offer, which they're doing during the Sunshine Double, which we did last week at Indian Wells. We're continuing that offer on here in Miami. During the Sunshine Double, Bet Rivers is offering a tennis net gains parlay profit boost. Each day, you can receive a profit boost of 25% or more for a tennis parlay wager of three legs or more. See the BetRivers app for full details. Remember, there's women's matches as well and men's matches as well. So tennis galore over the next few days. And if you get three legs or more, you can get up to 25% profit boost with BetRivers on your parlay. Next match, Vukic against Kobayashi Baena. Vukic is minus 280. Kobayashi Baena is plus 220. 4.5 is the spread here. Plus 125 for Vukic. Minus 162 for Kobayashi Baena. And the total games are 21.5, minus 127 over and under, minus $1. My printer has got starting to just print, and I don't understand why. So I apologize for that noise in the background.
I can't hear it, to be honest.
Can you hear it? It's just gone mad. Started to print things off. I don't even press the button. But Sean, you give us your thoughts on this match here while I try to sort this printer out.
Okay. When the odds first came out, I think this is one of the ones where the odds have moved a little bit during the day. When the odds first came out, I was quite astounded by the price on Vukic, which still looks very short. And what is it currently, the price on Vukic?
Minus 286.
Which is what, 1.3?
Almost 3-1 on, almost 133.
Yeah, it still looks very, very short. I mean, the last time he played, Vukic played Kobayashi Baena, was also in quick conditions in Shanghai. Vukic was a minus $2 favorite that day, 1.5 in decimal. Yeah, he won it 6-4, 7-6, but not particularly convincingly. And now he's much, much shorter. And I understand that conditions favour Vukic with it being, you know, quick outdoor hardcore, but it still looks very short to me. If you look at his stats, last 12 months at main level and outdoor hard, Vukic, 40% win rate, service points, one return points, one total of 96, and his service hold and break total of 93. Pretty mediocre. And nowhere near as good as Kobayashi Baena. It's 46% win rate for the Spaniard, a 99 service points, one and return points, one total, which is 3 points better, and a service hold and break total of 101, which is 8 points better. So Kobayashi Baena is some way ahead on the outdoor hardcourt stats over the last 12 months. Vukic has only won one of his last 13 matches against top 100 opposition, which was that match against Kobayashi Baena in Shanghai. That's the only time he's beaten a top 100 opponent in his last 13 against them. The issue with Kobayashi Baena is that I don't see any statistical reason why he's this price, is the fact that he rolled his ankle in the Phoenix Challenger last week, did Kobayashi Baena, who had to retire. But that was a full week ago. It may be 8 days if they play this on a Thursday. I haven't seen the schedule, but I can't imagine that it would be that serious 8 days late, 7-8 days later. And if you're Kobayashi Baena, you're playing in the Phoenix Challenger, you roll your ankle, you know you've got a Masters Series coming up in a week, you're obviously going to retire, aren't you? And kind of protect it a little bit for the much bigger payday at the Masters 1000. So that could well be the case with Carbajal-Baena. The other factor is he's Carbajal-Baena, that is, been very competitive against big servers in the past on hard and grass, playing a lot of tie breaks. Beat Berrettini on indoor hard not so long ago. So Vukic with the return game, not the best. I think he breaks about 14, 15% of the time at best, Vukic. Heavily reliant on that first serve and forehand. The backhand, as I saw at Indian Wells, I watched his match last week at Indian Wells, his backhand is really not good. So if you're Carbajal-Baena, you will direct a lot of the traffic to that wing. The price that I hope is still there that I looked at earlier with Bet Rivers was +165 about there being a tiebreak in this match. I thought that was very decent value. I hope that's still there because that's the bet I want to play.
For you now, Carbajal-Baena tiebreak. There's 28 different markets available in these matches, so there's all kinds of different things to be betting on. Let's try.
You could also go handicap over games, over 21.5, over 22.
+165 a tiebreak, a single tiebreak +165.
Given who this is, Vukic, I'm very happy to take that price. I think that's decent value.
So that must be our second official pick.
Yeah, I wanted to get on this match in some way, but the odds kept moving. So I've deleted and retyped about 15 times on this match. But that for me, as it stands, is the value, yeah.
Okay, so they're the two picks so far. Kotov at +105 to beat Van Ash. And we have Vukic Carbajal-Baena +165 to have a tiebreak in the match. Remember, head to Cross to the Bet Rivers website. Like I said, 28 different markets available on each one of these matches. You will not find a better array of tennis markets stateside than what you will get on the Bet Rivers website. Okay, the final match we're going to discuss in round one is Alexandre Muller up against Kwon. Now, Kwon is obviously on the comeback trail. He's in some terrible, terrible form. He hasn't won a match this year. He hasn't won a match since Doha. Just before last year. So he's in a real, real bad run of form here. Muller, understandably, is the favourite, -275, given Kwon's problems and his injury problems, +220 to Kwon, 3.5 the handicap, -143, with Muller the favourite, and the total 21.5. You've got to be very brave to be betting Kwon here, surely.
I think if this is a risky one, I will admit, but if you're looking for a big, big price outsider with possibilities, and then Kwon, I think, fits the bill pretty well. If he's fit, then that's an excellent price. That's the gamble you're going to take if you bet in this match. If Kwon's fit, that's great. That's an excellent price. If he isn't, anything's possible, I suppose. The problem Kwon's had is that he suffered a bad shoulder injury, just after he won his title in Adelaide last year. As a lucky loser, I think it was. And that kept him out of action completely for 6 months. And he's struggled since then, as you can perhaps imagine, 6 months on the sidelines. Only won a couple of matches since then, since that Adelaide title, in fact. But he's playing on a protected ranking here. Now, you only get a certain amount of protected rankings. And then once they run out, they're gone. So you've got to make the most of those protected rankings. And it's generally when a player uses a protected ranking, he's not expecting to lose in the first round. You do get quite a few of them, but they're not inexhaustible. So it suggests to me that he might be heading back towards decent shape. You know, he's been back a while now. As I said, if that's the case, this is a tempting price. Because if you look at Muller's record on hard courts, particularly against the better players, it's not great at all. He's 4-11 win-loss. That's a 27% win rate against top 100 ranked opponents on hard courts. And Kwon, after he'd won that Adelaide title, he was just outside the top 50, 52, I think he was, once he'd won that Adelaide title. So when he's fit, he's most certainly a bona fide top 100 player. So if you're backing Muller here, but what is he, about 1-3?
It's -275.
Yeah, I mean,
similar kind of price to Vukic.
You're just hoping that Kwon isn't fit. If Kwon is fit here, you're in big trouble. So if you want a risky one, then Kwon, I think, is the one. You got to take your chance on Kwon, hope he's fit.
Kwon is the one at +220. Not made our official picks, but he's definitely a lean for
very
sure.
Very risky, yeah. Very risky.
Very risky lean, very risky. He hasn't won in 10 matches. He hasn't won for 14 months. But surely well, making a case.
That's why he's that price.
Yep. If he was the Kwon that we know, what price would he be, do you think?
to win this match against Moore, probably about 1-2 or something. I would suggest.
-$2, you can get +220. So just the two picks, Kotov at +105 on the matches tomorrow. Check the BetRivers website out for all the latest times and schedules. And we're going to go for a tiebreak in Vukic for Kabashbaina. All our picks on the tournament winner are both in the bottom half of the draw. Ugo Humbert in quarter three at 50-1. The recent winner in Dubai. And Tommy Paul to lead the American hopes at 40-1. To upset the odds on the men's draw. Remember, there are a few ways to follow us here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. You can download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider. You can follow us on our socials at Because We Win on Instagram and also on Twitter. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Thank you very much. For everyone who's new to that, some great content on there. You've got the soccer coming up this week. It's an international break, places in the European Championship, and a big match at Wembley between England and Brazil. Finally, myself and Rory recorded a women's podcast yesterday. We previewed the WTA event, and Rory actually picked Aryna Sabalenka to win the tournament at 4-1. That was recorded before the tragic news that Sarah Sabalenka's partner tragically lost his life yesterday in Miami. So if you are watching that, you know, that's you've got to take that into account, the tragic news there. We don't know the mindset of what Sabalenka's going to be in there, but I just thought you'd say that. So tragic news there to wake up to this morning from Miami. And if you are watching that show, just that was recorded a couple of hours before that news broke. So that's very tragic news, and it puts a life into perspective. So go home tonight with your loved ones, put your arm around them, because there's a lot more to life sometimes in tennis. Sean, thank you very much, my friend. Have a good journey. I hopefully we might get one in before we head off to Miami on Friday morning, but we'll see what the schedules are like, maybe Thursday if possible. But if not, we'll post some stuff on the socials, and we'll be back again next week when I'm over stateside as well. So enjoy your break. Thank you very much. I hopefully we can get one in on Thursday before we go, because that'll be quite good if we can. But we'll look at the schedules, and we'll put something up on social media if we are doing a podcast on Thursday. Have a good day. Good luck with your picks, and take care.